Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Around hell of a guy, and I'm referring to my brother Chase from the group Ovation. He's going to be joining us shortly to bless us with some good stuff. So, you know, with that being said, give us a couple minutes. Chase will be on with us shortly. And, hey, we're going to let it do what we do. But right now we're going to listen to one little thing by Clockwork. It's called I Feel Like Praising. And we got to give it up to the man every day as much as we can. You know what I'm saying? Because without him, hey, we wouldn't be able to do it. Make that. Here's Clockwork, I Feel Like Praising.
Dame Taylor on the beat.
Like praises, so I'ma do it. It feels amazing, so I'ma do it. My hands be raising, so I'ma do it. Jesus be saving, so I'ma do it. I feel like praises, so I'ma do it. It feels amazing, so I'ma do it. Yeah, yeah, call me, I'ma do it. Yeah, yeah, I'm thinking I'ma do it. Yeah, I don't know what it is, bruh, but some point you just grow a little bit, bruh. One day you're just in the heart against, and the next Sunday you're a full participant. I can't help it, I'm caught up in the mix, and the Holy Spirit got full control of my limbs. Can't explain what's coming out my lips, like I took a crash course, learned foreign languages. Start tingling, rhyming and reasoning. Grab a tambourine, got that bad boy jingling. Been a week, I don't know if I can stand up, and at the same time, I can't sit down. Fair enough, tears keep coming from my eyes, I can't stand up. Feel like I'm in grade school, why I got my hand up? It's a feeling and I can't explain it. But when I get up in that zone, it's amazing.
When the drummer starts drumming and the keys start playing, and the choir stand up, I'll be your one waiting like, ooh, ooh.
When that drummer start drumming and the keys start playing, and the choir stand up, I'll be the only one waiting like, ooh, 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 ooh. I feel like praising, so I'ma do it. It feels amazing, so I'ma do it. My hands be raising, so I'ma do it. Jesus be saving, so I'ma do it. I feel like praising, so I'ma do it. It feels amazing, so I'ma do it. Yeah. Yeah, call me, I'ma do it. Yeah, yeah, I'm thinking I'ma do it. Cause when that fire gets shut up in my bones, feel like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't care, let the whole world watch me. Even with a red octagon, you couldn't stop me. Take it up a notch, running through the house. We feeling so much, we massaging the crowd. Beat people laying on their face like a victim. It's like heaven coming out the sound.
When the drummer starts drumming and the keys start playing, and the choir stand up, I'll be your one waiting like, ooh, 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 ooh. When the drummer starts drumming and the keys start playing, and the choir stand up, I'll be your one waiting like, ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yeah, that was my boy Clockwork, what I feel like praising. You know what I'm saying? All, you know, exactly. Y'all just listen to the show. You can call in anytime you want. 347-308-8747. If you want to join in the conversation. All right. Let me check and see if my boy Chase is alive. Hello there, Chase. You in the house?
I am indeed, my friend. How are things?
Oh, everything's lovely. Welcome, welcome to the show. We're just waiting on you to get in, so we can let everybody know what's going on good with you, man. Heard you doing big things on your end of the world.
We are indeed. I appreciate you having me on, man.
Oh, it was our pleasure to have you, man. We're always looking for, you know, the new heat, as I should say. You know, everybody know about the old heat, but, you know, you got to be prepared for the new heat.
So yeah, we have been. It's been the last 2 years have been a wild ride, and I'm just now jumping on. So I'm not sure if you've talked about what Ovation has been doing, but and I should also say thank you for letting a brother come on that comes from the world of rock and pop rock. So to hear that, you know, on a hip hop and R&B station is really cool. So thank you again for that. But
we are a music station, man. We reaching out for the independents, man. That's what we're riding for, not any particular genre. Because I come from a school where good music is good music, no matter what you did, as long as it was good.
I love it.
So that's what we're about, man. Because what I want to do, and for all you listeners out there to know that K-Diddy ain't riding for no particular generation. If it's good, we want to play your music. We want to hear your story. If it's anything we can help you with in terms of the legal part, I mean, if we can reach out for some attorneys to give you the knowledge that you need to take your career to the next level, I mean, that's what we're about here. You know, we're about helping those, and that's, I don't feel enough of us do enough of that.
That's a beautiful thing. That's
well, I'm sorry to cut you off, my brother. This is your time.
we're coming from the exact same place, so that's cool. But no, man, for the last 2 years, just to get people kind of hip to what I have been doing with my group Ovation, I spent prior to 2 years ago, I came out of a group working with Brown Mark, who is the bass player from Prince and the Revolution, and we had a group together called Cryptic, and that was a heavy R&B thing that kind of ran its course, and afterwards. I had a couple of choices, and one was to go back to touring, doing my original stuff, and I thought that was where I was going to go. But the interesting thing is that I could do a 90-minute set of originals, and inevitably, and I saw that there was a picture of myself up on the website, and that's cool. So I would get off stage inevitably after a 90-minute set of my solo stuff, and people would make comparisons between myself and Prince, and after a while, it got to be too much, and a light bulb went off in my head, and I thought, you know, wow, if I had a dollar for every time somebody told me that. And then I made a few phone calls to people from the camp of Prince and the Revolution, and we put together a show that's called Chase and Ovation, A Salute to the Music of Prince. So for the last 2 years, we've been touring around playing a number of different sets of old-school Prince, not a whole lot of the new stuff, to be honest with you. The majority of the material we do is from Purple Rain and earlier. In fact, we perform live every single song that was in the film, including the stuff from Apollonia 6. We do the songs from the time. We do all the B-sides from the record, and then we just kind of go back and do his old-school stuff, which has influenced virtually every genre of music since, and it's been a wild ride, my man.
Wow, that's hot. That's hot. That's hot. No, I should say, I know that we have something here with the music that we have for you to play to. Is any of that reflective of what you're doing now, or is this some of the earlier stuff?
I if you're referring to Chase Originals?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I have to be honest, all of my influences, I think, are heard in my original material. If it's just, as far as Prince goes, I think that when I listen to my original music, I can hear some of his influence in my vocals. But in terms of guitar or bass or drums or any other instruments that I perform, I can definitely hear influences there. So, yeah, you'll hear some Prince influences and some old school rock influences and even some R&B and some funk stuff in there. So,
let me ask you a question, Chase, because I know out here, you know, on the West Coast where we are, and I don't know if your economic situation there in terms of, you know, the public schools are different, and I think maybe they are. But I noticed, you know, a couple generations, I feel that we're going to lose musicians, man, because I don't see a lot of people trying to pick up instruments and play like they did before. I mean, that's something that you're seeing. I'm seeing the youngsters, they're more computer-lit, of course, but I don't see we having as many musicians and true producers that actually know how to play.
True. Yeah, agreed, and I don't think that that's just indicative of what's happening out west. I think that, you know, traveling around, I see that everywhere. So, yeah, I agree, and that's a sad state of affairs that's where we're at, but that's the fact. And the other thing, I think that you brought up the economy, that has been hindering the music business as well, because folks just aren't going out to support musicians as much as they were even, say, as recently as 2 years ago.
The whole digital revolution got something to do with that one too.
True. Yeah,
you
true.
Know.
But I have always been a fan. You brought up kids and whatnot and picking up instruments. I have always been a fan, regardless of what you do in your live show. I've always been a huge fan of whatever age you start. It is irrelevant, but always learn as many instruments as you can. Bass, and I mean the root, you know, instruments: bass, guitar, drums, keyboards, piano, horns, whatever other string instruments out there that you might be interested in. But that's where it all begins, and then let the digital revolution, as it were, creep into your life after the fact. But I've always just been about live instruments.
Well, I do too, because I come out of, so you know, the era that I came up in, you know, it wasn't too many things to do. Either you played sports, you played in the band, or you played in the band, or you played sports. You wasn't a whole lot of things to do. You
right.
know, a little country town, because a little country town, everybody turned out for the football game. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big thing, you know, to watch the band on the field playing. So that was all just motivate to either do, and sometimes you had to do both.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was glad we got that, you know, because we sang in choirs, you know, we learned how to play instrument, we learned how to read music, you know, we had to do them things. You know, if I had guys since then come to me, since I've been in the business, like, well, look, man, you know, I love to play with you, I love to get out with you, you know, but, you know, if you play that for me, man, I can go ahead and kill it. I'm like, well, damn, if I got to play it for you, I just play it myself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of guys that miss the boat because they don't. And, you know, and again, you know, I feel like guys like me, yourself, you know, if we see some of these cats, even though they got a God's gift, you know, they got a good ear, they can hear and play, I think we still should encourage them to go learn how to read, too. But if somebody give them a good job and got a chart and put it in their face, they still miss out.
Right. And admittedly, there was a time where I was able to sight read music. One of my first instruments was the saxophone back in elementary school. And
that's
playing
funny. Mine too.
And so the trip is that now I can't sight read. Although I can play by ear a number of different instruments, I don't sight read, and I think that that's shameful. I wish that I could go back. I don't know how I lost that. Why I wasn't able to retain that intellect, but yeah, I wish I could go back and keep that and remember how to read sheet music. But so, you know, starting at a young age, I think, is key.
Yeah, sometimes it's a balance too, man. Maybe you got too much feeling.
Well, you know what the state of affairs is? The majority of household names in the music business can't read sheet music, so there's that side of it as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's the musical genius and the feeling part, because sometimes people got that feeling, that creativity. They hear stuff and they just retain it. So to me, that overshadows that intellect part that you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, you can't help that one. Definitely can't help that one. So tell me something about, I'm looking at See You in Heaven, Chase.
Mm-hmm.
How did that come about?
See You in Heaven came about as probably a culmination of a couple of different people in my life that have left. I think one being female, one being male, and it's kind of a hybrid of the two different emotions I felt about both of them, about me losing both of those relationships. And that actually, I actually had that song sitting in my hand for about 10 years before the release. Originally produced it and recorded it and arranged it just to keep for myself. And I eventually let it out and let a couple people hear it, and they let a couple people hear it, and then it ended up on my first solo record, which is entitled All You Can, and actually was the first single. I just went into the studio with an engineer and laid down all the tracks, and like I said, just my intention was to keep it for myself, but it ended up getting out, and folks were digging it, and that's that. But that song to this day, lyrically, means a great deal to me. Everybody, you know, unfortunately, people lose friends at a very young age. Nowadays, we're losing way too many people at younger and younger ages for a lot of different reasons. But everybody can identify with the loss of a relationship, whether it be just because that person is no longer in your life because they moved on or because they have passed away or crossed over or however you want to say it. But so I think that's why people dig it, is because they can, you know, identify with it. And I didn't get that as I was writing the song, but now I do.
Okay. Well, let us, everybody, let's put an ear on the See You in Heaven by Chase. Y'all stick with us. We'll be right back after this. And we want to see you here and in heaven. You know what I'm saying? All right, then. That was See You in Heaven by Chase. And you guys are listening to I Am Indie, the show for independence. And our guest today is Chase from the group Ovation. And that was his cut call, See You in Heaven. All right. Hey, Chase, you there?
Indeed, I am.
All righty, then. Well, we want to see him there. We want to see him here. And we want to see him everywhere.
I should probably give production credit on that song to I had mentioned before that I went in the studio and recorded that myself. I should give production credit to a cat named John Fields, nicknamed Strawberry, John Strawberry Fields, in case he is listening, so I don't get in serious trouble. He is out in L.A. working with monster artists, considerably younger than I am, not the least of which being the Jonas Brothers. So Brother Strawberry went on to big things.
Yeah, well, definitely you got to give him his props, man, because if he don't hear the show today, he might go back and listen to it 2 weeks from now.
Exactly, and then hear me not mention him.
Exactly. Then you get that call, you know what I'm saying? You can always go back in the archives. So we're going to say something good about Brother Strawberry today in case you go back in the archives and pull up this show later on. We don't want to come looking for you.
Yeah, love it, love it. Love what you're doing, man. By the way, I'm enjoying myself here today.
Oh, actually, definitely, man. We're glad to have you here, man, because I know that, you know, again, you know, you've got a wealth of experience out there, man. We got a lot of youngsters coming into the business that don't really understand that it is a business. And even some of the older guys that I come in contact with, man, you know, they're still looking for traditional distribution as it was. And in fact, it don't exist anymore, man. And they don't even really realize that. So, you know, it's kind of, it has a concern to me because I'm like, well, if you don't understand the rules to the game now, how are you going to play it?
Exactly.
I did.
You know, I don't really know how to say it because the rules has changed. You know what I'm saying?
Entirely, yeah. It's not even the same game at all. It's apples and oranges. What's happening today is, at least my experience in the business right now, is it is comparing apples to oranges in terms of what was happening in the business even as recently as 5 years ago or 10 years ago. I mean, 10 years ago, I was walking around with a cell phone the size of a cinder block. You know, and now I'm walking around with a cell phone the size of a credit card, and I've got about 5,000 songs inside it.
Exactly.
and that just doesn't make any sense, but that's where we're at in the world of technology. So I can't tell you in nothing outside of relationships with family and friends and in my personal health, nothing is as important to me as music. But I can't tell you the last time I got in the car and drove to a store and bought a full CD.
Because
it doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen, and then, you know, it's amazing because I just went to this Core DJ a seminar over the weekend, and I was listening to some of the panel, and we're talking about guys from, you know, Interscope, Universal, Bad Boy, you know, and I'm listening to some of these promotion people and our people, you know, basically saying that they don't even want CDs anymore.
Right.
You know, because they were talking about people that's coming up to them in those events, you know, having them physical CDs, and then they got to lug all this shit back to whatever state they come from, and half the time they get lost and they don't get listened to because, you know, of technology. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And they said it's so much easier to shoot somebody an MP3 or, this is the new thing, the flash drives.
Sure.
You know.
Yep.
They like, well, you know, just send it to me on a flash drive, you know, and that encompasses, you know, your bio, your video, your music, you know, your presentation, whatever, all in that, you know. And I'm like, well, okay, well, that's cool, but I'm even listening to the DJs because here it is, if you're an artist that's struggling to get in the game, you know, you may not have an investor, you know, you may not have no pockets.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how cheap is a flash drive, you know, so you can't be sending out a couple hundred of them either if you ain't got no cheese.
Right.
You know, right. So I'm looking at this change in technology when a CD, I remember, you know, the blanks was a dollar something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now they're a few pennies, so now a lot of guys can afford, you know, a CD to send to somebody, but now they're talking about they don't even want the CDs.
Yep. Which is, yeah, which, and then then that goes back to the economy that you brought up. How many CD manufacturers are going out of business? I mean, they went from making seven figures a year to now struggling to keep their doors open because nobody's buying that hard product anymore. Think of the amount of real estate it would take up inside your house if you had 5,000 songs on CDs.
Hey Dan, have you heard that word called light scribe?
Yeah, man.
Hey, look, they screwed up when they started making the recorders and the burners affordable for the consumers. That's when they started this whole little mess. Because I remember, you remember, you could even have a studio, man, if you didn't have $50,000, $60,000, $70,000.
Right.
Yep. You know, you couldn't even have a studio. You know what I mean? If you couldn't have like a two inch machine or something, mm-hmm. you couldn't even have a studio. Now, man, if you got a couple $1,000, you can do digital recording in your bathroom.
Right.
You know, and you know what I'm saying. So now, what we're gonna talk about? Good digital versus bad digital, or my
mm-hmm.
digital is better than your digital?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, and I get this is the trip for me, not to step on the toes of any agencies that are out there that still like the hard collateral packages, but it is a trip if an agency will say, cool, I have a number of bookings for you, send me your promo pack, send me your kit. I'm like, cool, I already emailed it to you. And then they'll turn around and say, well, that's great, but I need you to send me something in the mail. I'm thinking in my head, it's 2010. I gotta put a bunch of junk and paper and cardboard and this, and then I gotta go to the post office and mail this to you when I can hit a button and you've got everything you were talking about putting on that jump or that flash drive.
Right. And see, that's a good part for the artist. But then the people now, you got your old school folks. They actually want a physical CD because they want the artwork.
Sure.
And they want to put it in their little file. They want it in their little CD case, or they want it at home. But
yeah.
they want the actual artworks, and they want the credit. They just want to have it.
And that's,
you know,
part. That's part of the thing too that I miss. As soon as you said that, I was taken back to a time when, to give away my age, I don't remember how old I was, but I'm going to guess I'm somewhere around 12 or 13, maybe a little bit younger. When I had Michael Jackson's Off the Wall, when that first came out.
Right.
And nothing was cooler than opening that album, spreading it out on the floor, and reading the liner notes and the lyrics as you wore out the needle on your mom's turntable, listening to it over and over and over. And so some of that, you know, sadly, I think some of that is dying, and that, you know, I don't know that kids are doing that anymore with CDs. Maybe they are. I have no idea. But that's something that I do miss is being able to pull, well, with a CD, you pull out the tray card and unfold the artwork and read who the artist is, what are they about,
exactly.
What are they thanking in their liner notes.
And
so,
you still have a group of people that want that because, oh, bless me, bless everybody.
Well, yeah, that snuck up on me.
Yeah, you still have a group of people that want the physical artwork, man, so they can have the ability to read that and go back and reflect and share.
Right.
And with the downloads, you know, you can download the artwork, but then if you got a booty printer, you still don't have that.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely.
So I don't know what they're going to do about that, but I guess they're going to come up with something else because... Like you, without giving away my age, I go back when I had like a regular two-track player that was made by Monks that I had to pull two little knobs to get it to play. So we went from two-track, four-track, eight-track, you know, that's on the consumer level. Then we go to cassette, but then on the other side, you know, we skip to, you know, cassette, CD player, then with the mini disc player. So I watched all of those technologies, the laser disc, and then the CD. I watched all the technologies change. And, you know, even from when everybody was dealing with the DATs, and then you go to the ADATs, and then the mini disc, I'm watching this. You know what
I'm saying? ADAT was next level, wasn't it? when that first came
yeah.
out. Well, I kid with my age. I'm 41, but that's cool because I still get carded when I order a glass of water. But I tell folks, well, the advice that I would give people coming into the business or wanting to know what angles to work all of them. You know, I mean, there is the fact that I would not wish this business on my worst enemy. However, once you're in it, you will not trade it for the world. So make sure you know all the angles, the old school angles in terms of the stuff that we're talking about, printing and pressing a CD with artwork on it. But then, you know, because we are approaching 2010, you've got to know every angle about how to move your product on the internet. That's huge, is getting distribution done in a fashion that we're not used to.
Exactly. And then we're looking at all the different social networking sites
mm-hmm.
that we all have access to, and even the majors, we're all competing for the same space now, which is definitely a good thing one way, because if you got your stuff together, you don't have to spend, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to get your product in the faces of the consumers like we had to do once before.
Right.
So definitely, the key is go to the colleges, get as many computer savvy young kids as you want,
mm-hmm. right.
and get them to work your music.
Well, that's what it is. I mean, without the people listening to your stuff, it's not going to happen. So however you can get it out there is how you have to do it. And sometimes the traditional way of 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, that being the major labels, people are getting crafty like they did back in the day. if some of the household name hip-hop artists that are out there right now that are, 35-plus years of age will go out and tell you that they literally sold cassette tapes out of the back of their car. That's how it was done. But they were getting it in front of people, and that's what needed to happen.
Exactly.
But now it's almost 2010, and I'm on your show, and we've got, a 250,000 people across North America. So thank you again for having me on.
Well, actually, man, Oprah got a show here on Blog Talk, man. So right now, it's huge.
Yeah.
You know, the listeners that have the ability to hear this show.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, it's definitely our pleasure to have you on here because, man, look, your career is off the hook. Your music is off the hook. And if you could inspire a couple more guys as you expired yourself, then hopefully, man, we'll have another generation or two of entrepreneurs, creative, producers, musicians, man, so we can continue to do what we need to do, man, because music is, shall I say, global. I mean, everybody, every country, all over the world, man, have music.
Absolutely.
It may not be what we understand, but it actually is music, and I happen mm-hmm. to appreciate it all.
Cool.
So let me play something else by you, Chase.
Sure.
Tell us about July.
I'm not even sure what you got. You've got July. You've got July 4. That is July 4. That is a song that I wrote I think I was in a complete happy place. You will hear, for guitar players that are listening, it will be immediately recognizable as something that sounds like something Eddie Van Halen would have done back in the 80s. And it is. Eddie was one of my, I've got probably 10 to 15 monster guitar people that have influenced me, and Eddie is one of them. If you pick up a guitar, if you picked up a guitar prior to Eddie, he has influenced you, whether you know it or not. So, I guess all I can say about it is listen to it, and you will for sure hear me being heavily influenced by Eddie Van Halen. That's what
I got. All right, well, here we go. Let's check it out. We'll be right back. Got another caller here from 651.
Please
talk to us, y'all.
Tom Chase, this is Ken Kennedy.
Nice.
I wanted to give you a call, and I'm hoping that they play, we can listen to DLB. As you know, that's one of my all-time favorites. And it's great to hear you on the radio, man.
Beautiful. That's my man, Glenn Burst.
One of his biggest fans.
Well, thank you for joining us today, man. Definitely glad to have you. Invite your friends. Tell
Keep
everybody
the
about
Chase.
The show.
Cool. Thanks, Lynn.
All right. Talk to you soon, man.
He's talking about a song that might. Although we're on the internet, and I know that we have entirely different rules than the FCC has for broadcast radio. he's talking about a song that might not be appropriate, but nonetheless, that's very cool. Thank you, Glenn.
Well, definitely. I mean, like I said, shoot, we can come back here another day, man. We'll play it. You know what I'm saying? All I do is tell it we gonna play it.
Yeah. There's some adult language in that song. But
well,
I was in a funky spot when he's referring to a song that's called DLB. Which actually stands for Dirty Little Bitch, but again, that's not appropriate for all audiences, so we'll revisit that later.
Oh, absolutely, man. Absolutely, man. So definitely, we don't have a problem with that. Like I said, we could have a little bit of more leeway here. We can play a lot of little things that you can't play anywhere else.
Sure.
But hang on with me in a minute, Chase. I'm going to play this little piece by Kanye. I mean, the female artist over here at World Movement Records. I got to throw out a shameless plug. But I got to play this one to go out to all the ladies out there. It's called I Can't Make You Love Me.
Please wait. I will be with you shortly.
Thank you.
Please wait. I will be with you shortly.
What's up? It's your boy Joey Black. You're now tuned in to the number one underground station around, World Movement Records Radio Show with my boy K. Diddy. Keep it locked.
Please wait. I will be with you shortly.
Yo, yo, you back with K. Diddy. It's time. And if y'all want to call in and talk to Chase in person on the show today, hit us up at 347-308-8747. You know what I'm saying? Ask your questions. Tell us what's good with you.
I'm open like a book. I'll answer them all.
Please wait. I will be with you shortly.
That's what we're talking about up here. Our philosophy is each one teach one. You know what I'm saying? So don't be shy. Mm-hmm. You know, you can talk to Chase. He ain't going to bite you. We promise.
I won't indeed. I have no shame in admitting that from age 15 to 18, I might have spent more nights on the street than I did in an actual bed. So that's just where I come from. And now I'm in a beautiful place full of abundance. So let's talk about it.
Don't be scared. Let's talk about it. Yeah. But you know, for those who just chimed in, you know, we're talking about the state of the industry, for lack of a better term, and how things have changed from the old school way entering 2010. You know, if y'all want to sell your music and get it out there, y'all need to do some research because it's not done like it was done a long time ago. So you guys better try to pay attention. You
what,
know, because
absolutely.
Other than that, you will not be in, you know, your Circuit Cities, you know, your Targets, your Walmarts, you know, because they're not letting everybody up in there. You know, there's a method to this madness, and you need to learn the rules before you play the game. That's all we're trying to tell you up in here.
Agreed. I will, while I shamelessly plug a website, I will also suggest that one of the most important tools that I have found, and he laughs, one of the most important tools for certain is a web presence. Yours is obviously enormous, and now watch me jump on the back of that enormous presence and use it to this benefit. Everyone log on to ovationmusicgroup.com, O-V-A-T-I-O-N. Again, it's ovationmusicgroup.com. And I've been using that website, that web presence, as a tool to market the current show that I'm doing. And, again, we talked about this at the top of segment one, I believe, Chase and Ovation, a salute to the music of Prince. That is where I direct everyone. Everyone on the planet can see that. And nowadays, if you don't have that, it's really tough to get off the ground in the business world because the first question people ask you is, you know, oh, you're in the music biz, or you got a group, you got a band, you got some songs, cool. What's your website? And if you don't got
absolutely,
it, if you don't have one, and you can have one, and people will go and see it, but if it isn't sharp, if it isn't user friendly, if it doesn't make sense, you're paddling upstream. So there needs, unfortunately, now a musician needs to wear a bunch of different hats, whereas 15 years ago, they could just go on stage and play their instrument and call it a day. Now you need to learn the business side of it, or you're going nowhere quickly.
And that is so true, and so true. And actually, this takes a lot of time, a little bit of time.
Did but I already say ovationmusicgroup.com? Did I plug that?
Yeah, I don't know, but you can do it again.
and we call them all shameless plugs up in here, but
right. You can also have no shame in
the exactly.
You need to be a little humble, but have no shame whatsoever, and that will also help your game a great deal.
That is so true, boy. Listen, the main thing is get your music heard and be righteous about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Be righteous about it. You know, the old school players used to say, you know, be good to the game and the game will be good to you.
Indeed it will. Yep. Which is why, and that's the trip, Lamont, is that if somebody would have told me a long time ago one of my biggest runs in the music biz would have been playing someone else's music, doing cover songs, hence this Ovation project I'm in doing the Prince show, I would have said, you're crazy. But because of the way the economy is that you brought up, I believe in segment one, there is, I guess the point I'm about to get into is expand or adapt or you're expendable. And so because there has been a change in the economy, I can, if I'm being completely honest with myself, I can earn more in the industry right now performing the cover tunes that Ovation does than I would be doing just solely doing original Chase material. That doesn't mean I'm not working and continuously pushing the original material, but in the interim, because we're kind of in this place that we're at in the music business, you have to just continue to adapt and expand, or once again, you will be expendable, and I choose not to be.
Well, I think, you know, people shouldn't leave no stones unturned, you know, basically. And, you know, and I find people here in Vegas in particular, you know, there's so much talent. I call it trends and talent. There's so much talent coming through here, and they get caught up in their daytime jobs, you know, playing in the casinos, and they stifle their creativity. You know, I understand that you have to eat and survive, but I don't feel like a true artist need to compromise themselves totally either.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who says that you can't have work on your day job or sell your own music, you know, online or get yourself set up? Because, you know, people are selling music all over the world while they sleep.
Yes.
You know, and that's something that I try to do, you know. People in China, Germany, you know, people that we have deals with, that we try to work with, and that's what I try to do. Even though I have to do stuff during the day that I may or may not want to do because of the economic situation,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not going to not pursue my dreams, or I'm not going to not continue to try to get my music out there.
Of course.
I see a lot of musicians and entertainers, they get caught up in doing this thing to survive, and they curtail their own creativity. And they die internally to a certain extent, you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because this creativity is this freedom, this rawness that comes with that.
Sure.
But then we compromise so much to live.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm rambling, man, but that's just me coming from my artist.
No, well, what you're saying makes sense. I mean, essentially, I think what you're saying is well, but the philosophy that I have is while you're pursuing whatever dream it is that you're pursuing, and it doesn't necessarily have to be in the music biz, but that's what we're talking about right now, unless you act as if you're already there, you're not going to get there. And I also believe in the theory that if you truly do need to do that, because if you don't, it's just not going to happen. And I get that you have to continue to there are musicians out there that need to work day jobs because you just have to until you start selling enough music or merchandise or whatever. But you need to, at some point, you need to make the decision, this is what I want to do. Regardless, again, it just isn't necessarily about the music business. This is in all walks of life. If you want to be, you know, the dude at a carnival that works the Ferris wheel, cool. Act like that's what you do for a living. And sooner or later, that's what you're going to be doing for a living, because you're going to start meeting those people that can hook you up with that Ferris wheel, get you to the right. That's the most ridiculous analogy in the history of analogies. But I know that that makes sense to the people that are listening.
Right.
In other words, if you're working at that carnival working the Ferris wheel and that's not what you want to do, you'd rather be working the snow cone machine, start working with people that are close to the snow cone machine. And
Player, step your game up. That's another shameless plug. Hold on 1 second, Chase. I think we got somebody else who want to join us here. Mm-hmm. 347, you're on.
Hello. I will be with you shortly.
Yes, we can now. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how you doing? I'm doing K-Diddy. This is Sleepy Love. And how are you, Chase?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, I listened to the last piece, July 4th, and I was vibing to the guitar, too. But I surely would like to hear when you were in that funky spot with D.O.B.
Okay, that's cool. I'm not sure that they have that. If they don't, I will get that to them ASAP.
Right, and I wanted to ask a question if I can, K-Diddy.
Sure you can.
Right. I heard that from 15 to 18, you were more on the street than you were in a bed. How did that, and how does it affect your music today, that journey?
That's a great question. It affected my early writings of original music a lot. It doesn't affect me that much now because I choose to leave that where it was. That was a great place of learning. I learned more in those 3 years or so than I had in maybe the 10 following. But that's just a I almost can't articulate it right now how much it affected. It shaped everything. That's a great question. I hope that was somewhat of an answer for you. that's just a funky place that I was in, and fortunately I was able to work and think myself out of it. But every experience we have shapes who we are today, and if I had to go back and do it over again, I probably wouldn't change that. I still would have probably had the exact same things happen to me that did, because that's who I am today, and now I'm that much more grateful for having all the abundance that I do. Does that make sense?
Absolutely does, and I love that. Thank you.
Cool. Thank you.
Okay, hold on with us. We're going to go to this other song by Chase. This was called Saddest Song Ever Heard. We're going to play that, and we're going to come back after that so you can explain this one to us.
Okay.
I just need to pull my CDs out of that little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
What do I do to stop you leaving?
Call you down the
what do I do to make you care? What do I do with all your fears? What do I do with your favorite chair? Now that we're through, what can I do? What can I say to make you stay? How do I try to go on dreaming? Standing by my side, you said that we'd grow old together.
Because I got a guy on the line, but
we might still just be live on the air. From where
Hello?
I sit in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hello.
Hello.